The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
A couple of questions here for you, Chew, before we move on to the Packers and their red zone issues.
Well, I have one for you guys, too, but okay. You tell me yours first.
Okay. Well, AC Antosa wants to know, if we were in an apocalyptic world, of course, would they be able to trade you a signed Mark Chmura framed poster for something?
Oh, God. No. Nothing. It's like oblivion. Like, oblivion will eventually happen, and then no one's going to know Cleopatra or Michael Jordan. You'll have no idea. You'll have to start again. One of the greatest quotes I've seen is, you know what? The next world war will be fought with bombs. The one after that is going to be fought with rocks. Next question.
Wait, why would we go rocks and not bow and arrows? Spears.
Because you got to... Josh?
But start over from the beginning.
Like, it's like checks were not invented long after coins and currency. Currency's got to start with rocks, then it goes to gold, then it goes to... You're going to have to start all over again. That's all I'm saying eventually. Now, let me ask you guys a question. Sorry, I'm jumping you here, Gabe.
Yeah, no, go for it.
Is money now just air? It's air.
It's ones and zeros.
If I Venmo you money, what am I... I'm sending you air.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Like, I have Bitcoin. What is Bitcoin? It's air. I don't have coins. There's no coin. It's just air.
Yeah.
I don't like air.
Well, most of the money you have is air.
I'm not big on that.
Just...
All right.
Yeah. I'm sure somebody could on the talk and text line, and please don't do this, explain Bitcoin. Like, I mean... It's basically there and worth something because somebody says it is. And you can buy some things with it, but yeah. I still do not trust it.
You see how I tell you guys, I think I'm just a deeper thinker than you guys. I think deep. I'm down there.
I assure really you that's deep. Not the problem here.
It's not.
But here's the problem, Chew. You do have some deep thoughts, but then at the same time you're like, "Oh, I can use my debit card to buy things?" Like it's very confusing.
I don't see a need for it. It's redundant. I'm not big on redundancy either. You have a credit card. Use it for every single thing. Use it.
Right? Well, some people only use the credit card for emergencies.
Why? You just said you're getting value out of using the credit
card. Well, yeah, but if you're somebody, if you're somebody who's living paycheck to paycheck, you know, you're only going to use the credit card for emergencies and then slowly pay it off versus paying it off all right away.
Yeah, okay. How about we agree to disagree?
I'm just explaining to you why some people don't always use a credit card.
Like, this last conversation, and you guys didn't know me, and we were just, say, doing it over email. How old do you think I would be?
About 670.
Josh?
Give or take.
Would you say 55 or no?
No, I got you closer to the 70s.
That doesn't bother me. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, no. Hey, the one thing that I know for sure is you are comfortable being you, big guy.
Yes. Yes.
And nobody is changing that anytime
soon.
Which
is a scary thought.
One of the things I wish would change, not about you, because I think you can help, the Packers' red zone offense. It is bad. Although they did move up. They're no longer 29th, now 27th in red zone touchdown percentage. It's been one of those things, Chew, that I think has really held this team back from reaching their full potential. Because when we still talk about the Packers and how they haven't played their best game, they haven't reached this potential we think they have, I think it starts with the red zone. They're able to get there. They just can't punch the ball into the end zone. So if you are Matt LaFleur, you're going into the first practice this week against the San Francisco 49ers, what do you think is the biggest thing you can do to start fixing what ails them in the red zone?
Let me just tell you how we thought back in the day, right? When we were good. I'm saying when we were good.
Mm-hmm.
So Holmgren would script, and they were all pass plays, 5 from the 20, 5 from the 15, 5 from the 10, 5 from... the 5 and inside, right?
Yep.
when we got to that, right, when we got to that part of practice, which was, I think Red Zone was on a Friday, right? And that's where Holmgren determines what is going into the game plan. So when we got to that period, there was an extra amount of juice. We're like, you know what? I'm running this balls to the walls because I want this in the game plan, and it gives me an opportunity to score. That's how we looked at it. Now, my money spot wasn't from the 20. It was a little better at the 15, at the 10 money, at the 5 money, right? There was just an extra juice that went into practice, right? Because Holmgren would be like, holy cow, that really looked good in practice. That's going to be my first call in the game from that yard line. I don't see that now. I don't see that juice. When you get into the red zone, guys should be like, I want my play called.
Yeah.
I want my play called. And I don't see that. I don't see LaFleur being as creative there. I mean, and I brought it up, I think, earlier this week with Amon St. Brown. That's the only place Goff was looking when he was being covered by Keyshawn Nixon, and it was kind of that stutter go back shoulder catch.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't looking anywhere else. I'd like to him to get back to, like, spread, and Holmgren would do this with me sometimes, spread me wide. If the safety cheats over there, you're going somewhere else. If he doesn't, it's going up, and it's a jump ball. The same with Christian Watson. I mean, he hasn't been great. He's gotten better at going up and getting it. But he's a tall kid. That's a mismatch thing. If the safety doesn't cheat over far enough for a back shoulder or a fly route, just throw it up and go, then you're throwing that. Throwing it.
How often?
I just don't see the creativity, and I don't see him single. Like, and I talked about it for the last couple of weeks. I don't see him, like, targeting his studs.
Well, so that's the thing. I think of when, because it was referenced in one of the stories, I can't remember if it was Schneidman at The Athletic or if it was one of the guys at the Journal Sentinel or if it was Jason's article, but talking about when Nathaniel Hackett was here, they called the red zone the gold zone, right? They called it the gold zone. And there was a play that they ran when Hackett was here against the Rams with Devontae Adams, where they brought him in motion, faked him going back to motion, and that sent Jalen Ramsey, like he thought he had to book it back to the other side. And then they quick snapped it, and Devontae was just wide open in the flat, right? Like you could do that with Devontae. And I asked this question to Jason yesterday. I'm going to ask you the same question, because I think third down struggles and red zone struggles, I look at those as kind of being the same thing. And maybe I'm way off, but they haven't established who their guys are outside of Josh Jacobs. You know Josh Jacobs is your stud. You want to hand him the football. But other than that, it's, oh, 1 week, you know, Dontavian Wicks gets 12 targets. 1 week, it's Christian Watson getting 6. Sometimes it's Reed. Sometimes it's Dobbs. Like, to me, they have to establish, you say they don't throw the balls to their studs enough. I don't know if they know who their studs are, and I don't know if they've identified those guys. And I'm wondering if that's starting to hurt them.
But we know who their studs are. I mean, Devontae Wicks, yeah, you can get open, but you drop too many balls, so I can't trust you down there, right? Watson, I think you target. Now, he's not a great route runner. I've been saying that for years.
Mm-hmm.
But he's certainly a height disadvantage and a jump, you know, athletic advantage. You can get him matched up on someone you want, the lesser cornerback, and then just go, let guys make plays. Now, the play you're talking about, that comes from Andy Reid. Andy Reid was the best at it, right? Because what that does, when Devontae in the day used to go in motion,
yep,
you could tell whether that guy's got you man-to-man or he's trading off if he goes back across the motion. And Andy Reid would say, as soon as they swap it, right, pass it on to the inside, snap it, and he's in the flat. And that's why he's wide open.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's just been as creative. Like, I think LaFleur is great coming out of the gate.
Yep.
Because he knows what he wants to do. He knows, because it's a feel-out period, right? And he knows how the defense is going to play, and he's very good. But then he kind of stalls, right? And I don't know if that's in-game adjustment. It just seems to, he stalls, and it's the same thing in the red zone. Like, there's no reason when they get down to the 10-yard line, scheme something for Kraft, right?
Yeah.
Scheme it. Rub off. You know, just different. I just don't like... I like how they spread the ball out, but when it's crunch time, you got to go to your money players.
Have we just accidentally backed ourselves into the wide receiver one conversation again?
I think so. But it's not even...
The thing we were told not to worry about?
Yeah.
But to me, Josh, it's like they don't want to establish who a number one is.
Yeah, somebody was supposed to
emerge. They want three number ones.
I'm not disagreeing. I thought a wide receiver one was of a value, and we were all trying to pick it, and it seemed like Jayden Reed at times could have been that guy, but he clearly struggles in man coverage and when he's a focus of the defense. They need to scheme things for him, and it seems like they haven't been. Tucker Kraft not getting enough targets. Romeo Doubs, where the heck are you?
Chewy, how did you guys handle it back in the day? Because you had Keith. I mean, I know Robert wasn't healthy in the Super Bowl, but Robert and Free, like in 1998, I know Keith had retired then at that point, but you had Robert, you had Free. There were a lot of talented guys that had to get the football. Was it kind of a week-by-week thing?
Free was number one all the time because Free, I mean, he was such a weird route runner, but he was so shifty, he was so good. So Free was always the number one guy, which okay. He should be. You know, he was always number one. Robert was a great route runner, but he was small.
Yep.
You know, Robert was two. I was probably three. Well, until Keith got there. And then your backs, right? The thing with Keith, when we get down in the red zone, they'd have to make a decision. Do you want to go big or do you want to go small? If you go small, we'll run the ball.
Run the football.
If you go big, we're going to throw the ball. It was really very easy. But Free was always the number one, and it was a pecking order. And we knew that. There was a pecking order from there. So, Gabe, out of 20 plays in the red zone, if I got four, I was happy as a clam.
I think that's just something that they need to do that. Maybe they already do that. I don't know. But I think if they get to the game plan portion this week, hey, we're featuring Romeo this week because we like this matchup. We're featuring Christian this week because we like this matchup. I just think that they need to, like you said, even if they don't know who their horses are, just pick one in any given week and make sure you've got those plays in ready to go for that particular guy in any given week.
Has the back shoulder play gone away for LaFleur? Because it was so good with Devon, and it started with Jordy.
Yeah, but I think
it was so good, and then it went to Devontae.
But that just takes so much trust between a quarterback and wide receiver to run that. Yeah, like you mentioned the guys that did it, right? Like Jordy and Devontae. Yeah. Like Jordy's a Packers Hall of Famer. Devontae might someday be a Pro Football Hall of Famer, right? I don't think Jordy wasn't running the back shoulder year one, year two with Aaron. He was running it year five, year six.
That's more of a...
All right, let me ask you another question. Has the slant game gone away? I don't see a lot of slants anymore. Slants is a bread and butter. I mean, obviously, you're going to have players that want to run it, but that back in the day was Devontae, Jordy. I mean, Green Bay has run slants since the frozen age or whatever.
I'm pretty certain they're running them. I just don't think they're successful. Because didn't Christian Watson just take one to the house? And hasn't Jayden Reed made some big plays on slants?
Yeah.
Like it sort of seems like it's just not there for him for whatever reason right now.
Because that would, to me, be a big Dontavian Wicks play with the feet he has, the way he can get off the line of scrimmage.
But my read on it is guys don't really want to run it because it is a bing-bing play. And
yeah.
Safety, if you don't get down quick enough, is going to take a shot at you. But I don't know. The guys I played with were so good at running slants, and it was such a big part of our offense. And then off of that, you got so many different plays you can run.
Oh, yeah.
Off of it. I don't know.
I think that's just a big part of this team going forward. Although AC and Tosa does point out 8th in points per game, 27th in red zone offense, that does seem encouraging. So you are still scoring points despite not, but again, I feel like the red zone stuff, it's one of those things, too, where, yes, it's good enough to beat the teams that you're better than, but you have to be more efficient when you're playing Minnesota, when you play Detroit,
Sure.
When you're in Seattle, you know, some of these tougher games that they have on the remaining part of the schedule, that's where they have to pick up some of these things where they've been deficient in so far this year. You've probably heard about employee stock ownership plans before, but what separates Fifth Third Bank from others when it comes to these plans? A succession plan that benefits business owners and employees. From full and partial sales, second stage transactions, repurchase obligation financing, and seller note refinancing, ESOPs can offer tax advantages, increased liquidity, employee incentives, and overall diversification of net worth to help your company plan for the future. Fifth Third Bank National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Any of those things because it exceeds, it's like, I'm sorry, I'm burping up my apple right there. That's what that was. I wasn't pausing for effect. I literally was burping
all right,
my
can
apple.
We just go to break?
No.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Alexis Peach, who hits us up, 800-990-3776, wanting to know if you can send Alexis some air. So, so, you know, if you'd like to, I'm sure you guys can. Yeah, you can exchange some information, and you can send some air, since that's all money is now.
I think I'm right, though. If I'm wrong, tell me what it is.
Oh, I don't think you're wrong. I think okay. Well, it's not necessarily air; it's ones and zeros. But you're
what?
Basically right.
Ones and zeros is computer code. So your money is not quite just air, but it is not physical. It is not backed by the gold standard. It is computer digits.
Which I don't know if I would trust.
Well, you've been trusting it now for the better part of two decades.
No, my wife's been trusting it. I don't trust it.
Yeah, but you trust your wife, so ipso facto.
Not potting plants.
No, she doesn't trust you. That's different. You trust her. She doesn't trust you. That's a different conversation for a different day there, big guy. But since we're on to this, with Matt LaFleur, you mentioned him, Chu. You just don't think he has that same creativity. It's just hard to put your finger on what has kind of held this Packers offense back to me. Because, like AC from Tosa had pointed out, they're eighth in points scored. Like, you certainly see the explosive plays. Josh Jacobs has been effective running the football, even though he doesn't have a boatload of touchdowns like you think he might, based on where he is. I believe he's third now in the NFL in rushing this season. I'm trying to put my finger on what was so different from a year ago versus this year, and I can't quite figure it out because it's not like anybody was established a year ago.
I'm just going to throw this out here.
Please.
Because you brought it up in the last segment. Will Dobbs be here next year?
I lean towards yes, but I think it's certainly a possibility. I mean, Jason said he thinks he's got nothing to prove it, but he said that yesterday with us about Romeo and maybe there's something bubbling underneath again. I mean, you have to admit that anything is possible for a guy to just straight up not show up for work, Chew, and we don't really get any more explanation about it. You have to admit that anything is possible.
But he has not taken the next step. Would you agree with that?
I don't know if anyone in the receiving corps has taken a next step. Other than Jaden Reed's the closest, I think Jaden has taken a half step. I think he's taken a half step forward in year two.
Yeah.
But I think Jaden Reed is getting better, but I don't know if anybody's taken that full step and going, yep, I'm the guy. You have to make sure you get me involved each and every week.
But do you think he is the guy? I mean, Josh, you brought up route running. I haven't really noticed it. I don't know. And I think maybe that's the reason why LaFleur spreads it around, which is not horrible, but there comes a point in time when you need, like having an Amon St. Brown or a Brown in Philadelphia,
mm-hmm.
or a Devontae.
Because
it's so easy for a head coach when you have a Devontae, like, okay, this play is for Devontae. Now, it's not for Devontae. Even when he was double-teamed, he would still get open. I don't know how. But when they clearly bought resources over to defend Devontae, it's very easy for the quarterback to go, nope, not going there. And then you have one-on-one on the backside with – put it this way, Gabe. If you can't beat a defensive back one-on-one in this league, you shouldn't be playing in this league.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You really should.
I think we can – not to simplify it too much, but neither Dobbs nor Reed are great separators. They're great at catching the ball on Dobbs' end, and then Jayden Reed's great after the ball's in his hand. Those are two things he's great at. He's great at schemed plays as well. Dontavian Wicks is able to separate with the best of them in the league. He just can't catch the ball. So what they wanted him to do, he's unable to do. And then Christian Watson is the speed, stretch the field, use his size and athletic ability.
The crazy part to me is, and it, maybe it's not that crazy, but of the guys that have the most potential to be the guy we're talking about, the number one, are the ones that are least productive for them.
Uh-huh.
Christian Watson and Dontavian Wicks have more potential than Dobbs and Reed to be, this is our go-to guy.
Correct.
But whether it's been injury, whether it's been drops, there are a number of reasons that have held those two back over the last season and a half versus, and you just brought up the shortcomings of Reed and Dobbs.
Yeah.
And yet those two are the ones that have been the most productive this season so far for the Packers.
Yeah, go ahead.
And then throw the tight end in there, though, Josh. I mean, when Musgrave's out and Kraft is your guy, and there's a gap between one and two, he should not go games with no catches or no target. It's like basketball. It's like you got to get them involved or they're going to fall asleep, you know, because the last two games, Kraft hasn't done much, right?
No.
He didn't. He didn't have any catches against Chicago. What did he have against Detroit?
Two or three catches.
He's a horse. You got to ride him.
Yeah, it feels like we should be at the point with both Jayden Reed and Tucker Kraft where they've got 5-6 plays every single week. And it is the Jayden Reed's plays. It is the Tucker Kraft plays. Because Tucker Kraft with the ball in his hands is somehow like Jayden Reed, where he's breaking tackles, running over people. Like, that is the type of thing you need to happen. And that's what made Kyle Shanahan and Deebo so great, is they had plays for them. And those guys are so explosive, so good with creating plays, that they always need to be featured. How they get erased from game plans the way they do, and some of it is sometimes they're not open. Sometimes the defense has a plan for it.
Sure.
But you need, like, even if it's not successful, if you go to Jayden Reed four times and Tucker Kraft four times, that's where I want them to be at. They could drop it. They could not make the kick. Like, there's all sorts of things, but they need to be a factor.
So,
granted, Tucker Kraft was wide open on that play. Love just overthrew him.
But that was his only target.
My bread and butter, Gabe. No, I know, but Gabe, my bread and butter was Fox to XY Hook. Right? You can't stop it. It's just too hard if you got a rushing attack. And Holmgren would run that at least three times a game out of different formations. And it probably had, God, it had to have a 70% hit rate, you know? And then 322 wide stick probably had a 50% hit rate. These were all my plays, right? It's just like there's got to be bread and butters for guys.
So,
and I don't want to knock LaFleur because I think he's a good coordinator. I just think these little bit of struggles, you have to target your guys a little more and find their bread and butter and then go from there.
So Tucker Kraft against Detroit, Chew, 4 catches on 6 targets, 34 yards. I feel like that's got to be a baseline for him. Like, because he's not going to have, 100 yards every game or 70 yards every game. But I feel 4 catches for around 30, 40 yards is a baseline for Tucker Kraft.
You tried to get him the ball.
Yep.
That's what you need.
Yes.
You know, and then if a couple of those plays pop, then he does what he did against the Rams, where he had 4 catches for 88 yards. 2 touchdowns.
That's a good game.
Yeah.
In my mind, if I had 4 catches for 80 yards, I'd be like, all right, that's a good game.
You got 4
catches for 34, I'd be like,
yeah, fine. But that's what I'm saying, Chew. Like, I think that should be the minimum.
Sure.
Like, that should be the baseline. Like, every game, he should be getting 3 to 4 catches, and whatever happens in those catches in terms of the yardage happens in those catches. But you have to at least do that. And
especially, Gabe, when the running game has been so successful.
Yeah.
You know? I was successful when the running game was flowing because typically, you know, they played a lot more zone back in the day. If I could get that linebacker just to flash a little bit at the run game, you got no chance. You have no chance.
Quick question.
And that's what's a little boggling to me. A run game is humming. That's tight end central.
Quick question here, 800-990-3776, Chew, from Ian. If Watson finishes the year this year, the way Jordan finished last year, would you be good with signing an extension for him, or would you be scared of the injuries and lack of production through most games?
No, I think, you know, based upon what Jason said, he's matured. You know, when he stepped up to defend Dobbs and what he went through, I mean, he's not having the greatest year statistically, but if he continues to move forward from, I mean, I'm not paying him $25 million
correct
a year.
I would sign an extension for him to
3 years, $13 million a year.
Yeah, low. I'd sign a low risk one.
I don't think he's ever going to be a number one just because his route running ability, but I think he could be, if he continues to move forward, I think he could be a solid two.
Do you guys think
he could ever be a one?
I think he could flash into ones. Like, he'll have games throughout the season like he did just this last week. But his way of winning just isn't consistent enough. Like, it's not – he's not the type of guy who's going to always be making those catches downfield just because that's how the game goes. But could he have multiple 150-yard games through the rest of the season?
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
I mean, at this point last year – did you think that Christian Watson would have been capable of making the two plays that he did?
No.
In double coverage, going up and getting a jump ball, and then making a diving catch that he turned into a 60-yard gain.
Those aren't catches last year. That's simple.
But I think, and you guys are probably too young to remember, or maybe you do because the highlights of him just frying Terrell Buckley, Alvin Harper.
Oh, I remember that game. I remember it more than I'd like to remember that game, because that was
he was a run by you type of guy, deep ball, would catch some intermediate routes, but not a great route runner. And it helped that he had Troy Aikman, because when he went to Tampa Bay, he was just a guy. So
yeah, well, it helped that he had Aikman and Irvin and Emmitt Smith.
Sure. Yeah, it makes life a little easier.
I'll say right now. If there's a fifth-year option coming, it's certainly going to Christian over Romeo.
He's a second-round pick, though, I thought.
Yeah, he is. I'm just saying, like, in terms of, like, I was using that as a...
Oh, okay.
You know, if they had the option to bring those guys back, those are the ones they're... He's preferred.
Yes.
Right now, just because you can't rely on Romeo, and it's very clear after Aaron Rodgers, not to bring it back to him, but they prioritize locker rooms, captains, leaders, guys who are going to be, you know, pulling the rope in the right direction. That has been a focus of the team.
To an extent.
I'm just wondering if not fully,
otherwise you don't trade away Preston Smith.
I also think they're trying to blend the youth and the, because clearly youth is also, there's two very important things, but there's a reason a lot of, like, Xavier McKinney and both Josh Jacobs were captains on their teams.
Yeah.
And that was clearly something Goody and the front office prioritized as an advantage for the team.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, this offseason will be very interesting. I mean, I know we're not done with this season, but fast forward, if it continues the way it is, especially from the defensive side of the ball, it's going to be very, very interesting because they're going to have some decisions to make.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I'm talking fifth-year option specifically. Oh. I'm talking
Are easy decisions right now.
Defensive line, and I'm also talking Jair because, I mean, Jair's going to want to get paid and sign an extension, I believe, right?
I mean, he's going to want that, but if he's not on the field.
I agree.
I mean, you want your money not to be air, but here we are. You know, some things are just not, you know.
You need paper money. You need bills.
Doesn't matter what age you are. Low testosterone can be an issue for any guy. That's where Mentality comes in, a local healthcare facility specifically dedicated to helping men feel and perform at their very best. They have helped me, and they can help you too. Well, how have they helped me? Well, I was tired, groggy. You know, just didn't feel like myself, but kind of figured, well, I'm doing a morning show now. Used to do the afternoon show. So I'm just tired as the day goes on. Getting up earlier, I'm getting older. Makes sense. It doesn't have to be that way. If that kind of sounds like something you're going through, well, see if it's low testosterone. And Mentality can help you if it is low testosterone. They can come up with a customized testosterone treatment plan just for you. So go to lowtusa.com. Mentality allows treatment to fit into every guy's lifestyle. Learn more about Mentality and their low testosterone treatments. lowtusa.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Here, you can just save yourself so much time by going, okay, we like this guy, this guy, this guy. Let's take a look at all the different things he did at the combine. I just hit my phone, and now my hand is just tingling.
What is with you two today? Jesus. Do you know how to function?
I just like...
On 94.5 ESPN. Maybe we're just trying too hard when really it's closer than it is too far.
We get more upset as fans when we think our guy has been snubbed for an award, right?
Yep.
Because Pat Murphy, Chew, won the National League Manager of the Year last night. Which I'm excited about. You love Murphy. He still thinks he recognized me from somewhere, but, you know, we haven't quite figured that one out. But he won National League Manager of the Year. And I feel there was just like, oh, yeah, cool. Nice little footnote, you know, like, oh, cool, good for Murph. Whereas before, when Craig Counsell would be up for that award and not win it, today would be a day where everybody would be up in arms, grabbing their pitchforks, ready to go after the Baseball Writers Association of America. How can you not vote for Craig Counsell? And now, oh, Murph won? Oh, good for him. It's just it's just so weird the way we handle that. We don't celebrate that victory the way that we, you know, get more upset by a snub.
Is that because of his personality, that he's laid back?
Well, no, I think that would be everybody, Chew. Like, at this point, if Giannis won another MVP, or if he got snubbed this year, I feel like more people would be more upset that if he got snubbed versus excited if he actually won. It's just one of those things that as sports fans, we like to complain about, that our guys don't get recognized. And then when they do, it's not really that big of a deal.
I also think the MLB's at blame here, too. If you release these before the World Series,
yes,
like in that area of the championship series and the World Series, you would have a lot more people tuned in. I'm so football focused right now. The fact they're giving out awards was a surprise to me when I saw it. It was like, oh, they're doing this now. Like every other situation of like these awards, they are usually announced prior to the end of their season. When was the last time a baseball game was played? Is it a month?
No, month and change.
Like 3 weeks.
But so, I mean, look,
it's the off season.
Wouldn't you guys copy the ones who do it best? So you copy the NFL because the NFL awards are right before the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, but the NFL is just you can't really copy what the NFL does because in baseball and hockey and basketball, like there's always games going on. Like football, there's a rhythm to it, right? Yeah. Like you can have those awards before the Super Bowl because you don't have a game on a Thursday night.
No, so why wouldn't you release these awards or have an award ceremony in the middle of the World Series when they have a day off? They know there's going to be a day off, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, this goes all the way back. I wanted to bring it up with LaFleur and stuff because back in the day, we used to copy. It's a copycat league, and yep. We would copy plays from other teams. Now, we wouldn't run them the very next week, but we'd start to practice them, and then you would put it in maybe 3 or 4 games after that when people have kind of forgot about that.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't, if your MLB is, yeah, we know what the MLB is, but there's got to be a better way to do it because it's so insignificant, especially when you're dealing right in the middle of the NFL in college football season.
So if Matt LaFleur, and I don't think he's going to win Coach of the Year this year because there have been a lot of surprises across the league. But if Matt LaFleur, you know, let's say the Packers win out, and they finish 14-3 and win the division, come out of nowhere, and somebody else still wins, I feel more, even though the NFL does it the way they do it, Chew, I still feel more people would be upset that he didn't win it than if he actually did win the award, that they would be excited. Now, again, I think Murphy This might be breaking news to people that Murphy won Manager of the Year last night, that was announced last night, whereas everybody would know.
Breaking news.
Whereas everybody would know, to your guys' point, if LaFleur won or did not win. Like, that would be painfully obvious everywhere.
This is the way society is, right? If you go to a really good restaurant, are you going to Google and saying, oh, this restaurant is the best, it's so good, definitely go there, as opposed to if you have a meh meal
at
a restaurant, you're going to go to Google and say, this place terrible, don't go there.
That's why when we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, that's why I said I really don't use Google reviews or Yelp reviews, because you're 100% right. Like, more often than not, somebody who just had a bad experience is going to be jumping on there. And I don't think that's a full reflection of what that restaurant or place that I might want to visit is.
When you're in a town or city that you know nothing about, wouldn't you go?
No. So
and check the reviews on place? I do.
So
now if it's bad after bad... Go ahead.
Well, you probably have more people in your phone that you trust. If I am going someplace that if I'm traveling in the United States and I don't know where I should go to eat, the first person I check with is Eric Name.
Name is my food guy
because he travels so much. Like, first of all, he gives out great Milwaukee recommendations. So, tweet at him if you're looking for great Milwaukee recommendations. But because he travels so much with his NBA schedule, with the Athletic covering the Bucks, he knows a lot of the really good spots at all the NBA cities. So if I'm traveling to an NBA city, I'm reaching out to him or a different friend maybe I know that's been to a similar city.
That's Milwaukeean of the Year nominee. Eric Name.
That is true. Yes. Milwaukee.
I believe it's a Shepherd
Express.
Oh, you're 100% my wine guy.
Yeah.
I'm your wine guy. What's Joshy?
Joshy's just the good time guy. If I'm looking for a good time, I send a text to Josh.
Does Joshy get chatty when he's out? You know how some people have a few pops and they loosen up, or does he get...
He can get chatty, yes.
Yeah, it's either or, really. It depends on the day. Sometimes I'll just sit back and enjoy whatever's going on around me, but you got to entertain the folks.
Josh is an entertainer at heart.
Uh-huh.
See, when it comes to restaurants, though, I like to go to the same restaurant over and over and over and over, which drives someone crazy, but you're going to get a good meal.
If
you roll the dice and go to a place and it sucks, then it wrecks your night.
Yeah. So for example, we have not explored all of the restaurants around us in our place, because we moved into our new house in March. But there's one place that's three blocks away that I know I want to go there. I want to explore more, but to your point, sometimes I just know, hey, this place has got a really good burger. I'm going.
Yeah.
We can, well, we'll worry about that new place some other time, dear. One of those situations.
There's a reason I've formed butt grooves in certain bar stools across the Milwaukee area. I know what I like.
Because you like your place.
Yeah, there's plenty of places I could go try.
Yes.
But Old Reliable is still always the best for me. That's where you feel the most comfortable. You know what you're going to get.
See, I love a place that I go to where they They forfeit the seat if they know it's mine when I walk in.
That's odd.
That's what I like.
Oof. That's big time. When's the last time that happened where somebody just knew, this is a Chewy spot, I got to move?
Down here. And I've shown you a picture of this place.
Yeah.
They know exactly where my spot is. I can't sit there. Sorry.
That's so awesome. I want to reach a point in life where I'm going to someplace so much that it's, hey.
And it's the nastiest place in the world, Gabe. It's one of those places is if they turn the lights on, you're never going back there.
But you love it. It's your spot.
80s music on the jukebox. Yeah. A little whiff of ciggies that brings you back to,
they never quite got rid of the 80s, cigarette smoke.
Still lingering in the carpeting. Yeah.
Still,
you sit down too fast on a chair that has padding in it, and you can smell the heater still in there.
Oh yeah. It wobbles. Uh-huh. It wobbles because the thing's so old. Yeah, it's wonderful.
Is there any piece of you that reads Google reviews just to see the personal axes people decide that they want to grind?
Oh, yeah.
Like, they have a super specific, only to them issue, and they have nowhere else to issue their gripe.
Yep.
So it's like, they provide a review of something that they personally didn't like somebody because of their behavior. And it's like, this isn't a value to me. This is just you being mad.
I will only look at those, though, once I've been to a place and I know I like the place. Because because if I go in blind and read, like, that could still color my opinion of a place I haven't been to. So once I've established that, yeah, this is a good spot, I like this spot, yes, for entertainment purposes, I will dive into and just laugh at.
I also, like, when I'm going places, I trust the local, like, newspapers, because most of them have some sort of food writer, and they often, at the end of the year, will rank, like, here's the best food spots for Milwaukee, for Madison, for anywhere you could be going, and that them being journalists and going to try it and not, you know, leaving reviews of personal things that they had happen, that's the stuff I trust.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Also, Josh in Heartland hits us up, 800-990-3776. Gabe, why don't you organize a drive-through celebration at AmFam to celebrate Pat Murphy and the other award winners? You can broadcast remotely from there. Chewy can try to join you, but then just end up back at the studio.
That wasn't my fault, by the way.
No, I...
Never is.
Thank you.
I mean, I
today's
knew.
Internet issues? Hold on! Today's internet issues? Not my fault. Not my fault. Although I cured the problem, which is amazing to me.
Okay, I got to hear.
Because I was on with our pseudo boss.
I got to hear
right,
about
go ahead.
This.
We'll go to break.
I'll hear. Right. I want to hear about how Chewy fixed his internet problems coming up next. But you can tune into the Analysis Show each and every week, presented by Gruber Law Offices. The NASA's Adetokunbo hangs out with special guests for fun and surprising conversations. Maybe it's his live show with Giannis, the chat with Green Bay quarterback Jordan Love, getting the inside scoop on fighting with Logan Paul, or any one of TA's unique guests. Find The Analysis Show on Apple, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. Plus, you can subscribe to The Analysis Show on YouTube to see exclusive video content from Thanasis. The Analysis Show, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Come on, guys, let's think about this. Could you do 50 straight days of burgers?
That was very condescending. I just
want to be clear.
Let's put our heads together.
Again, I have children. I know condescending when I hear it.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
All right, Chewy, how did you fix your internet issues this morning?
Okay, so I have about 20 different things to connect to, right?
Yep.
There's all kinds of connect points that I can go to. So for years, we've been doing Marquette Access,
yep.
right? That's what, no problem. So for some reason, our boss, the bald guy, Big Lerp, said, let's go to KTI Access Rack. We've had problems with it ever since then. I'm like, why don't we just go back to Marquette Access? Boom, fine, no problem since I did it. Now I'm an IT guy. I think I qualify as an IT guy.
All right. So. We'll see if Chewy's still an IT guy tomorrow. Wildy and Tausch, they're coming your way next.